For those of you who don't know me, I'm Lisa Smith, the Chief Program Officer here at the network. And one of my responsibilities and one of my favorite things to do is to facilitate and run these affinity groups for all sorts of professionals. And this affinity group is the only affinity group that doesn't have a chair. And
This was actually for Joanne. I'm sorry. I just wanted, because this is Joanne's first time joining. So,
right. But so I'm about to tell you why. So she says that this is a small group. A lot of the groups have a lot more people. And I'm not sure why this group is small, but I do know that there is not a chair of this group. And it was requested that we run this group because someone in Raleigh really felt like she didn't know what to do. And there's so many ideas out there, and why should she reinvent the wheel? And before the initial group began, she got another job. So this group is sort of chairless. So I come up with ideas so that we could try to talk about that. But if anyone wants to be the chair, let me know, and then I can reach out to your CEO, and we can move forward. So this is really community outreach and programming, and we want to get ideas from each other. We want to know what's worked, what hasn't worked. And I thought for this particular session, we should really just talk about virtual programming and what we've all learned and what we've done in COVID, and maybe we could, you know, get some ideas from each other. So But I want to say one thing to Beth, one last thing, which I think is really important, is that my social work supervisor, my very first semester, Masters of Social Work, which is 30 some years ago, told me that every small group is a gift. And you know, it's very true. Every small group is a gift. So, you know, we're a small group and we can get to know each other and learn about each other's programs. So anyone can start if they have anything they want to share with us, anything they've done, any challenges they've faced or wonderful successes.
Can I ask, are these just so, because I do programs for the community and also professional programs.
Yeah.
So is this group focus on one or the other particularly?
I don't think so.
Okay. No, I was just, it's my first time here. So I'm trying to get the lay of the land.
I think that any programming that you do in your community, whether it's professional or, you know, not, is what we are here to talk about. But it's really your group. You can determine what we could talk one time just on professional. Are you talking about professional development?
Yes.
Right.
But more? Also for professionals. So in Chicago, since we went online, we've continued like a huge number of programs.
So you talk first, Tracy. Tell us a little bit about
So I think the first thing we ended up doing like 10 days after Illinois shut down was sort of an adaptation of a Bichor Cholim, a visiting the sick program, for people who in congregations who were calling older adult congregants as check-ins. And so we put together this, I don't know, 50 minute, it was, of course, that's how much they told us, an hour, and then they needed 10 minutes of it. And it was Jewish Standard Time, so we had even less. So we did this training for synagogues, for this particular synagogue and some other people. And then we've done it, I think, two more times. We did it for another synagogue, and then I think we did it in partnership with Shar Sheret. So that was the first thing. We have some contractual relationships with some of the synagogues in our community. And so we've been doing a fair number of staffing of parent support programs, which are really like, you know, sort of grassroots support. Like sometimes we go in with a little bit to teach, but a lot of times it's come and, you know, have a place to talk with other parents about what this has been like and what it's like. Sometimes those are super easy and fun, and sometimes they're painful and heart-wrenching.
So had you always been doing those programs in person in the synagogues, or is this something new that came about personally?
That was more new. So we've always done parent education in the synagogues, right? So we'd go in and talk about like, you know, teens and screens, or talking to your kids about difficult events, or like any of those things. So we've done that for a long time. But this idea about just providing a place for parents within a congregation, a community to gather and talk about their experience of being home with their kids and e-learning and no camp and that really, I think, came from the synagogues.
Are you charging for those?
So we have these contractual relationships with synagogues where they, with some of them, not all of them, but with, I don't know, more than half a dozen at this point, where they pay for a certain number of hours of ours each. I think they do it by the month. And so this would be part of that programming. So, you know, they might pay for us to be at a staff meeting, to provide consultation, like lots of things. And
hold
so
on, Tracy. Do other people in this group have contracts with synagogues to do that kind of work? Because that's a really good idea. My agency, I was the executive director of a JFS, and we had that. And it took a little bit of time to get it, but once you get it, you're in, and they know you, and then they recommend you to other, you know, their friends and other people. So it's a great way to build your counseling department and as well. So I don't know if that's anything anyone's interested in, but if they are, maybe Tracy, you could be a consultant for that.
Yeah, actually, it would probably be my boss who sort of grew that program. And is now running our community services department.
Is anyone interested in hearing about that? If I got that boss to come and do a separate webinar just on how to grow a contractual synagogue, okay, I'm going to talk to her. You'll tell me, Tracy, put in the
chat. Sure, yeah. So I know NJHSA, I know that she won, that program was honored in some way a couple of years ago. I can't remember.
I can see why.
What the initials were or what the award was, but yes.
Okay, no worries.
I would put her contact information in.
That's a really great way to build programming. So great. Who else has something that they want to share that they've done since?
Go ahead.
Oh, did you finish, Tracy?
No, we've got a bunch of other stuff that we're doing.
Okay, tell us after other people talk and then
yeah, absolutely.
We'll hear back. Okay, terrific. Rachel, yeah.
Okay. So one of our challenges specifically, I'm sure that many of us are facing, is our seniors specifically who are in assisted living communities, many of whom don't necessarily have their own phones or ways of contacting our staff. So typically we have a senior engagement program where we do programming and visits, both our friendly visitor program where volunteers and our staff go in and do Shabbats and programs and right. So we got a grant for $26,000 from United Way. So it's a United Way COVID relief grant here in Charlotte. And it's specifically we wrote the grant for technology. So we just bought 10 iPads and we have relationships. Four communities have agreed to take 2 iPads each, and then we have 2 iPads that we're going to be able to have individual seniors who live at home, and the communities are going to use these iPads so that we can create recorded programs. So like we have a program that we do that's like Israel in an hour, you know, visit Israel for in an hour, or our Shabbat services, and we have an app called the Cloud app that we purchased because it recording Zooms is a little clunky and it makes it a lot easier for them to be able to just click on one thing. So they'll be able to watch recorded things. They'll be able to stream services that our temples have. And because it's United Way, it's available to anyone in the assisted living. So that was a way that we were able to get buy-in from the communities that they would actually use staff time. So someone can use it to watch their church service on Sunday, or we're able to use it to do telehealth. So you can bill telehealth for Medicare. So if they have a client who might need to do therapy, and we're up and running for telehealth, we have been for a therapy program. So we're really excited because one of our big challenges is ongoing, how are we gonna get to the folks who are living in assisted living, and they don't have the ability to do the technology themselves. So even if they have an iPhone, we just have not had great luck with their being able to do FaceTime. Our younger seniors were up on Zoom and doing all of that stuff, but our older seniors who tend to be in assisted living. So we're really excited. We just put the order in. It was really fun to order 10 iPads, and we ordered special headphones to help with hearing. My senior engagement manager did all of this research. They have the iPads have, they can make it so that the font is really large, and there are apps to be able to help seniors, but the staff is really gonna do kind of one-on-one and then do a cleaning protocol in between each senior. So that's kind of our big news that I'm really excited about from a technology standpoint. Everyone else has been able to switch to technology, you know, telehealth. We're doing all of our therapy on telehealth.
Right.
We're doing support groups. We have a stress and anxiety for COVID support group. We have a parenting group that we're doing online. We have a bunch of programming for our more active seniors who are on Zoom. So we're doing a lot of programming for them, but that population we hadn't been able to reach. So
I don't know. I'm anyone can ask questions around this. I don't have to be the only one, but I don't, 10 doesn't seem like a lot. That's all I was going to say. Like, who determines who gets the iPads?
Well, we only have $26,000. So if you know about a way for us to get more, that would be great. And that had to pay for, you know, all the services and the, well, so we have four communities who we're doing it with. So,
right, but how do those, I don't understand. So they're just two in one community. So the staff has to take it to a person's house who wants to participate. So you have to coordinate with all of the seniors to know what they want and then drive it to them.
They're assisted living communities.
Oh, they're all assisted living. So they sign up for it or something.
Yes.
Oh, so okay.
It's room to room. It's a very short commute. Yes.
Okay.
So like Bruce can watch services and then Hazel can watch services.
Interesting.
Yeah. Because a challenge is that here, and I'm sure most places, they can't gather them together for even streaming something on the television because they can't all be in the living room together. They're doing some very, very limited 6 feet apart kind of exercise things, but they can't be where they could all watch something and actually hear it. And some of the community, and that's North Carolina, I'm sure a lot of where you're living, they're not even able to leave the room yet. And whether they'll be able to leave the room for much longer is a big question mark here. So no, these are assisted living communities.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
Reach all 100 or however many live there. Two, we have reserved right now, if either another assisted living community reaches out to us and agrees, because they have to buy in to storing it, having staff, or right now we have two individuals who we are going to let use, you know, two of our individual clients.
Gotcha. But, okay. I understand. I just didn't understand at first, but now I get it.
Yeah.
So love that. Good job, Rachel.
Thanks.
You seem very happy about that, and we're happy for you. That's a big coup.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about your parent program?
Well, hold on. Let's hear from other people before we talk more, because I want to make sure everyone gets an opportunity to talk about that. But you two can talk offline. Put your emails.
I'll put it in the post. I mean, in the
chat. Who else wants to tell us what they're doing?
So my name is Matt Stewart. I'm with JFS of Buffalo. I don't think during this time we've done anything like truly revolutionary, but, so I started my position in October. We didn't have a Jewish community department. It was just everyone has their own thing. And then the Jewish people, we kind of just go in where we're needed. So my position was created to fill a gap in services. So it's been a real fun time trying to build a department while COVID is going on. So before COVID hit, we were trying to get a lot of support groups up and going and groups to inform people about public benefits and how they can apply and when they should apply. And then COVID hit. which was really coincidentally timed, because then we did more of that. Now we're doing support groups over Zoom and providing telehealth, and we don't do contract works with synagogues, but a number of the like religious leaders or executive directors of the various synagogues, they'll reach out to me and we'll try and facilitate whatever they need. For example,
if you have a contract, they'll get to pay you for that. that's the beauty of that contract.
I think that's an amazing thing, and yeah. I want to bring it to our executive director to see if we can do that. Because right now, like, my program doesn't necessarily make money. I do a lot of volunteer programs and trying to get a kosher food pantry and kosher food kitchen up and running, which was stressful, but a lot of fun. So I think that's about it.
Well, it sounds like you've done a lot in the short amount of time that you've been there during, you know, COVID. I can't imagine, you know, starting a job, you know, right around then. So thanks for coming on to this call. So Howard, thanks, you wanted to tell us something.
Yeah. In 2 minutes or less, we were able to have about 300 people join a virtual memorial service. Mm. It was Jewish Community Services connecting up with in Baltimore, there's one Jewish local undertaker, and they've not had services, memorial services, eulogies, except they're doing everything graveside, and then everybody's been left to their own devices when it comes to sitting Shiva. So the idea got circulated, advertised, and the first one was held about a week and a half ago, and 300 people virtually came, and it was very, very moving. Very duplicable. You can duplicate it pretty easily. Very little money was involved except the getting the word out.
Wow. So who was it? And it must have been someone, a big machmer in the community or someone that everyone knew. That's a big turnout, right, for memorial.
No, it's for everyone who lost, sorry for my lack of clarity, everyone who lost someone since COVID.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, since COVID.
What a great idea. Yes.
Easy enough to do. The
beautiful.
The local undertaker was more than happy, and so there was a ceremony which include some therapeutics involved in the ceremony. So it's very easy to duplicate. If anybody wants more, I can connect you with the people who did it in Baltimore.
I want to know more. That's super interesting. I mean, because that's something that all JFS agencies in their communities could duplicate. Yes.
Right.
So if you have that information, send it to me and I'll put it into our community programming outreach resource file, right, in the library.
Okay.
You know how to get that?
Okay.
That'd be great.
I'll also put it in the chat.
Terrific.
It in the chat also.
Terrific. Thank you. Okay. Good idea. You see, that's why it's good to be together. Who else has something?
And what do you have? What's your idea? What's your innovative one? Lisa?
Me? I don't really have. Well, I was starting to talk about what we did
with
J-Pro.
Yes.
So anyway, in the very early stages of COVID, like March 13th, we were asked, and JHSA was asked by J-Pro, which is the National Organization for Jewish Professionals, to provide emotional support counseling for people impacted by COVID. So we did that. Howard was a co-leader. He was a leader of one group, and I was a leader of one group. And then we were asked to provide services for people who have been unemployed and or furloughed. So he and I are both running a group with, we each have our own career counselor from a JBS agency. And now a third group is up and running as well. And, you know, that's been successful. And I think that the network is planning to roll out a nice big initiative for agencies for people who have been unemployed or furloughed moving forward with our JVS agencies and our, you know, JFS agencies. So that was exciting. But anyway, you don't want to hear from me. I want to hear from you guys. Amy, what are you doing in Minneapolis? You know, the heart of all this George Floyd. I bet you're doing a lot now.
It has been a busy time, that's for sure. So like Matt, I don't know if we did anything particularly innovative, but we've reached out to a couple of audiences in new ways. We have a program for adults with disabilities, and we usually are getting together in person, joining different community celebrations that are already happening. And we obviously can't do that. And so we did a couple of things. We started a closed Facebook group. And every couple of days, our coordinator just poses a question. And the participants are engaging. They have asked each other questions. Sometimes they just say hi to each other. They're just so excited to be in the same virtual space. And then
What kinds of questions?
She'll just ask a question like, it's 95 degrees here today. What's your favorite ice cream flavor? Or something like that. Be really simple. And we were doing a couple of Facebook Live events. So we did our Seder via Facebook Live, and we did a Havdalah. And it was great, although I think for our song leader, she felt a little bit like she was just sort of talking out into the wind. There was no response or anything. And so we switched, and we've done a couple of things via Zoom, and that's even better. Even if the people, they just like the idea of being able to see each other's faces, and there's a constant chat, like just never stops. The chat room is going, they're talking to each other, they're talking to the whole group, but that's been really great. And then our organization, we have PJ Library within JFCS, and so that has presented a couple of opportunities for us. We reached out, as we were talking, we have community connectors that are targeting families with kids 0 to 2, and as our connectors were talking to people, there was just so much anxiety around being a new parent in this age of COVID, or being a new parent or having a toddler and getting ready to deliver another. And it was just changing. Could you have your partner? How long have you been in the hospital? You know, who else could be there? All of that. And so we started some parenting, just a parenting conversation. Went really well. And then last week we had the next in the series, and we had an infectious disease specialist from Israel who actually joined the call. And we had 25 households, including some from Kansas City and other communities, who I don't even know how they found out about the event, but it went really well. Wow. We're continuing the conversation this week. And for the families, the PJ families with slightly older kids, we've partnered with Federation, and we're doing kind of take and bake kits. We discovered that families don't want something where they have to log on at a very specific time and do something. Like, everybody is tired of that. And so instead, we created a Shavuot kit that had some recipes. It had some, they could bake this flour thing. They had all different activities. And they could pick it up from different locations in the community, socially distant, and do it at their own time. And then if they wanted to, they could post it on social media. So we're doing another one in July on the destruction of the temple, which doesn't sound that upbeat, but we're gonna do it with like a sand art kit and so forth. And so we're hoping, we had it capped the first time for Shavuot at 50 families and they were gone in 48 hours. Wow. So we're hoping to have a lot more families engaged that way.
So, I was going to say something about that. You know, you said that they don't like it when they're all together, but do you know that they're participating? Do they actually post their videos of what they're doing?
Yeah, sometimes they do. We actually tried this method during, we had Good Deeds Day scheduled for mid-April, and the plan with our Good Deeds Day was supposed to be everybody would come into the office, and we had 7 different organizations that we were going to be doing something for. Uh-huh. And then we realized we were going to have to come up with some other way to do it. And so, and we had been planning to charge a fee, an $18 fee for that. And so what we decided to do was to, we have a food shelf in our building. It's not ours, but it's a partner organization of ours. And so we partnered with the organization called Doing Good Together. And they're actually based here, but they're national. And they created a kit for us, and which costs, I don't know, $8.95 or something. And so people still paid us the $18. We sent, actually Doing Good Together, sent the kits out to these 65 families that signed up. And then everything over the $8.95 we gave to the food shelf to buy additional food. So they could see it as a mitzvah that they were doing right there. And then people participated in Good Deeds Day on their own schedule. They could post things as well. The Shavuot kit did not work as well for the online posting, only because it was followed very closely by the murder in our community. So that didn't. And so we're hoping that that kind of thing, the social media piece, would take off more. We're partnering with all of the camps, the day camps, and then the overnight camps in the area through PJ to do some programming. They're developing kits that are being given out to all the families that register. And we're partnering with all of those camps.
Yeah, I guess PJ Library, they really know what they're doing, right?
They
how many of you do PJ Library in your own communities, JFSs? So Rachel does it through JFS and Tracy through JFS.
Ours is through Federation.
Right. Ours is through the Federation as well.
Right. So it's interesting.
We're one of, I think, maybe 5 to 10 that do it through a JFCS.
Right, most so people are in Federation.
Yeah. They are similar. PJ is similar to NJHSA in terms of the idea sharing. We have a really robust professional group. They're talking all day, every day, about ideas and sharing the information.
That's terrific. Okay, Brenda, what do you have going over there in Cumming Center? Oh, we have two. We have three. Who else is here?
There's Joanne, Beth, and myself.
Oh, there's Joanne. Okay, great. So yeah, talk to us. What's happening?
So
you got three different things?
Yeah, we have three different things. I'm the director of the program and marketing team, communication team. And Beth is going to speak about something else, and Joanne's going to speak about something else. So I just wanted to let you know that we have been working very hard, actually, since this all started. And we have something called the Virtual Library, where we have recorded in the past years. It was originally given to us from a grant, and we were able to establish this. And this is where we put all our recordings of, usually it was major events that we had. So our members had free access to go into the library and watch the events later on if they didn't have time to participate it. Or they could go and watch some exercises that they wanted to participate in. Since this whole thing with COVID started, we wanted to open it up to everybody in the community, because we realized that everybody had to keep stimulated, not just physically, but cognitively and intellectually as well. So it's open to everybody. It's open to everybody in the United States, Canada, Israel. I know just recently we sent all the information to Mr. Rotman.
Yeah, we just sent it out. We sent it out today to everyone.
You just sent it out? Okay.
Yeah, and I sent it to Holocaust Survivors, Older Adult Services, CEO, and then the whole network.
It's an amazing service. So just to let you know that in the virtual library, we now have over 200 videos that we have now in the virtual library, and there's now 890 users.
Wow.
So that has really increased a lot since March. And I'll just going to give you a little rundown of what we have. But one of the things that we're really proud of is we've able to do a lot with exercises, and we find that the exercise courses are one of the most viewed items that we have, because it's not just regular exercises that we have. It's more focused for the 50 plus, but we also have a multitude of courses as well for the adapted community as well. So what we do is we now tape them. We have
Since March, we have offered over 60 classes or events online by Zoom. And we have now registered over 850 users just for the live events or the live Zooms.
How much does that cost you, Brenda?
Right now, through the goodness of the community, it's not costing us anything except my staffing.
So what does that mean, that someone paid money for you, that you got a grant to start this?
So the grant was many years ago to start the virtual library, but the Zoom things are not costing us anything.
Right.
So
how much did it cost to start?
We'll reach out to people, mm-hmm. People who we might know, and we'll ask them, can you give a lecture on a certain subject? Or we'll have specialists. We have somebody that reached out to us, actually. She's a yoga and meditation specialist,
seniors,
and she said, I'd like to contribute something. I can give you a set of 6 classes. She's not charging us anything. We do have to pay for once we tape it, and people are taping these by themselves, but then we will send it to our specialist who helped us set up the library, and he'll make sure that it's edited properly into the library so that people can watch it. But just for example, some of the courses that we have, they're for like post-stroke, Parkinson's exercises, posture balance, boxing
okay.
for Parkinson's.
Brenda, we get it.
These are all different kinds of things.
So we have to move on, but I think that it would be great for every single person and me.
Well, you sent it out and everybody should really check it out.
That's what I'm saying. I think we should all check out one of those because I think it would be very interesting, for our communities, and maybe we could
And even for yourself, the morning exercises are great. So you can get onto the morning exercises.
The chair exercises. That's great for me.
That too.
Okay. So let's hear what Beth has to say then. I'll make sure everyone has an opportunity.
Yeah. So as Brenda said, she's the director of programs. I'm the director of social services. So we have a very large agency. So some of the programming that we have done just for our social service clients, I don't know if you're aware, but at the time that COVID hit, all of our residences, all of our senior residents were on lockdown by order of the provincial government. So we were able to getting guards at the door. People couldn't go in or go out. So we decided together with our federation to create social isolation kits or activity kits for the seniors. It was done through reaching out to donors and volunteers to deliver the kits. And we delivered over 600 kits to isolated Jewish seniors living in residences and in their own apartments because they were fearful of leaving the apartment. Mm-hmm. The other program that we've done is the shopping program, and it still continues. Many seniors are still fearful of going out to the grocery store. So this is a program that we offer for free. Clients who receive financial assistance, we organize the financial assistance through the shopping program, and some clients pay themselves. And we will do the programming, we'll do the exchange afterwards with credit card. The other thing I want to mention is the iPad. So we have been successful in obtaining, partially through Federation and partially through our own efforts, to obtain 30 iPads, which they're not the newest. But we will be deploying them using leadership volunteers, young volunteers in the community. They'll be going to the clients' homes. These are people who may have never had any kind of technology or very old technology. And hopefully once they are set up, they'll be preloaded with Zoom and WhatsApp and all the apps that they can communicate, because a lot of our seniors have family living out of town, and this way they will be connected to them. So those are the three major programs that we're doing. And Joanne is going to talk about hers. In the social service department is our day services area, which Joanne is the program manager of day services. So she's going to talk about the programs there.
Okay, I'm on. Okay, so the day services are two distinct locales that offer their activity centers for seniors. They are people living with dementia, and we provide activities and stimulation for them and their caregivers as well. Those were physical proximity types of programming, and of course, everything stopped at a full halt. But we have been able to onboard 80 to 85% of those guests and their carers. And that compromises about 140 people living with dementia and their loved ones as well, to be using virtual technology in different ways. So currently we have, between those two sites of staff that we've maintained, they're providing weekly thematic programming that provides cognitive stimulation, an opportunity for socialization, and support to their caregivers as well. And they're very, very varied. They go from brain gym types of games, cognitive stimulation, reminiscence activities. We have a music therapist on staff who provides as well a session of music therapy with the group, or music making. So some of it, depending on the functioning of the group, is adapted to the skill level and ability to engage. They are receiving as well through technology. They receive activity kits also through different themes that can be puzzles, games, reminiscence activities, discussion points, PowerPoint presentations, and links. So they're not confined only to the Zoom meetings, which someone has spoken to, that can be a challenge also for parents with kids, but even for seniors to always have it at the same time. They can't always log in. So we will send links to other videos as well, or recorded videos of sessions that we've done before. We provide yoga and relaxation once a week for caregivers. And in total, we're doing about 16 Zoom sessions a week right now between the two campuses. So there is a lot of content and access to groups that people are getting remotely. But what's been really astonishing, which surprised us, we didn't anticipate this level of engagement. The amount of seniors that have wanted, they may have been reticent at the beginning and it took a few weeks to onboard a few families, but the amount of people that are actively using the virtual content, that are joining us on Zoom sessions, that are using all of the digital applications that we're sending, is just surprising, because these are not young, well seniors. These are much more affected, many comorbidity issues, seniors that are dealing, and the people that they're living with that are helping them get on, they themselves have a lot of challenges as well and can be quite a bit of the older demographic and may not have used this technology before COVID-19. So we've really looked at it as the silver lining, because we do realize that down the pike, we hope to see them in our rooms again. But we also know that we have another modality that we could use for greater outreach. So it's really been a blessing in some ways too.
I think that a lot of agencies would agree with that. It seems like people are getting a lot more attendance at their programs. And, you know, if they're offering educational programs at night, even for, you know, younger families or for, you know, adults, that people are actually attending. But it would be interesting, Joanne, to see some of those kinds of activities that you're doing in those groups. Is anyone else in this call working with people with dementia? Because potentially that might be something that you might want to present in our older adult services group, because that sounds really different, right? I haven't heard a lot of those kinds of programming. So I'm going to talk to you. Put your email in the chat and I'll reach out to you.
Yeah. Can I just add one thing to Joanne? So when our offices are open, this program that Joanne coordinates is a fee-for-service program. So we receive revenue from these full fee. And now, of course, we don't have the day program running, so we're not getting any revenue from these individuals. So now we're going to start exploring a fee-for-service model that we can adapt to this kind of a virtual format.
Yeah, you have to moving forward if you're going to be doing it. Right.
Yeah.
Wow, so that's terrific. And people are already bought in. They like it, so they're going to want to pay for it. So good job.
They want more. They want more and more and more.
Terrific. That's great. Okay, who haven't we heard from? Deanie, have you told us anything? Ariel? Yeah.
Sure, I'll go.
Matthew?
So we have been doing a lot of support groups. Sorry, hang on one second.
It's hard to work from home.
Yeah. said anyone who's been on the Zoom call over the last 3 months has gotten a cameo from one of my children. Okay. So a lot of support groups. We've done support groups for our internal staff, for staff of other Jewish agencies. We've done for parents of teens, general community support groups. Probably my favorite one is one of our school social workers has been doing with her preschoolers. So ages 2 through 5, who really have been struggling with what preschool looks like over the phone. Most of them are, whether they're doing Zoom calls or not, but she's a connection already forged with these kids. So they've been meeting every Wednesday for like 45 minutes since probably the first or second week, been doing a different activity with them, but really skill building about how to deal with disappointment and personal space, which is a big issue for a lot of families at home right now. And she's had like a steady 25 kids with her almost every week, which is a good turnout. Our other groups, some of them have lasted the whole time. Others have come and gone. They've really gone in phases. Some other things that we're doing right now is we offer PATH classes, which is focused on, it started off for those with diabetes or other chronic health conditions. And it had a really strong fidelity to the model, but thankfully they realized that we're forced into some flexibility right now. Those who formulated the program have been open to us doing that remotely. And so we're offering that class, but it's hard. We're drumming up recruitment for that now. And it's normally people who walk into our building and see a flyer and go, what is this thing? So we're figuring out how to connect with that certain population in a different way. And also looking at this program. So we're in Michigan and there's this program called Trails that is about CBT classes for kids in schools. And we have a bunch of school social workers. And they're also becoming more flexible with their model and letting us in the summer try some virtual programming. And so we're going to see if we can do that via Zoom.
Sorry, you guys. I don't know what I just did. But you were saying that CBT. So you're going to be doing CBT with the groups online?
Mm-hmm. That's the goal. And it's figuring out, it's the program has been being used, it's in partnership with U of M, and they're very focused on getting data out of it. I'm not sure like who their funder is, but they have also been very focused. It could only be in this kind of school. We're doing an impact partnership with our federation, who's been looking at bringing it into the Jewish day schools. And they were cautious about doing it out of a public school environment. How would that look differently? What do school social workers look like in this kind of environment? They were just hesitant about any changes. And again, like that silver lining that now they're like, okay, sure, we'll try it. So we're going to do some, try and do 2 or 3 groups with teens in the summer and then see how that goes and then maybe continue them throughout the fall. And then otherwise, reassurance calls with our older adults. We have an iPad program for Holocaust survivors that we did not know 6 months ago would come into so much use now that survivors were given an iPad and trained with by a volunteer on how to use it. So that's been really incredible.
Good stuff. People are doing such wonderful things in their communities. It's really amazing. We have Pittsburgh, Matthew and Ariel.
Hi, how's everyone doing?
Good, how are you? Were you playing a guitar?
Yeah.
I thought maybe you did that virtually with your colleagues or your clients.
So I run the Sproul Food Pantry. We're open 5 days a week. We also have some critical needs casework. The rest of our agency has done a little bit of a hybrid of what I'm hearing from the rest of you in regards to seniors. We have a lot of online therapy sessions as well. Some of the things that we've done as far as more of the outreach versus the programming.
Yeah.
We sent out a postcard to everybody in our pantry service area making $60,000 or less, marketing the food pantry, as well as we can help with unemployment applications because our career development center pivoted from workforce development to helping people with that. We're pretty well saturated in our community, but we did get a couple people. So that's one of the outreach we did. Yeshiva schools started their own breakfast, lunch, pick up and go program. And so we were also able to put our flyers in those lunches. And I think they're putting out 5,000 lunches a week. So that was also a way to increase awareness about the pantry, because there is that group of people that are just making just that extra $5, $10 a month, not getting food stamps or whatnot.
Right.
So, you know, part of our outreach was kind of doing some of that. We're keeping an eye on social media. So we have on Facebook a Jewish Pittsburgh page, which is very active. And we do have people, some people trying to recreate the wheel, as well as people just randomly, where can I get food? Where can I get kosher food? So for those people that we haven't reached through our aggressive marketing, we're looking at those places as well.
Can I ask a question about Jewish Pittsburgh?
Sure.
Does anyone else have like a community, a Jewish, whatever, Montreal page or a Jewish Detroit page that JFS or JCFS runs?
We don't run it. We don't run it.
Oh, it's part of like what your federation runs, or it's just part of what Pittsburgh has?
You know what? Very randomly, there's two people who are the administrators, and one of them ran for mayor of Pittsburgh at one point and is running he has his own security company in Israel right now. The other person is, I want to say, the wife of a prominent rabbi. And so it's a very, it's interesting. But they're the administrators. I want to say when Facebook started, they got in early, created Jewish Pittsburgh, and there's a couple thousand people that.
That's great. So you get a lot of people, a lot of attention in one little post.
Yeah, I mean, it can be a little controversial as well, but we will get people like, hey, I would like to start a nonprofit. Are there any Jews in our town that need food or need psychotherapy? And, you know, it's like, That's been really good. And we have a very good marketing department that keeps an eye on that and ensures that people know what resources we have. We also have a network that, you know, we have a pot of funding in which we're able to help people through crisis. And then there's separately Hebrew Free Loan, separately Jewish Assistance Fund, separately the Israeli Bonds and TRIPS. And we formed a network together because people kept confusing all of us.
Yep.
We meet regularly, and then we send blasts out, and we have marketing material as well. So we've been continuing to meet, and also our cross referrals have increased due to COVID-19. So that's been a very good relationship to have, which also helps us kind of multiply our outreach in the community.
Right.
So that's kind of what we've done. And then for some of the other things, we're doing a lot with seniors, psychotherapy, but I'm not the director of those programs, so I wouldn't want to speak on
that. So I know Ariel can talk, but I just wanted to say one thing about Pittsburgh, because I happen to be on your Facebook page, or I don't know, I don't really know, but I see all of these fabulous videos. You guys should all look at their Facebook page, because they're CEO comes out and talks for like 2 minutes about a topic. He probably talked about racial, you know, whatever, you know, he probably made a statement about, you know, this racial injustice that's going on. I'm sure, you know, their COO just spoke to people about coping mechanisms or ways to cope with anxiety during COVID, but it's on their Facebook page and it's just a 2-minute video. And I think it's it sets you up as being experts in the field. And I think it's something that everyone should look at, because it is an interesting way to promote yourself in a different venue than you would normally see. So I don't know. I think it was excellent. So I just wanted to say that about Pittsburgh. Ariel, did you want to say something about anything you're doing?
I don't really have much else to contribute. Basically, just what Matthew says we've been up to. We're also working with the Virtual Senior Academy to offer like nutrition education workshops with the seniors. But we have encountered some barriers of the seniors, you know, not using technology or not being able to have the internet access. So I was really interested in hearing about that United Way grant with the iPads. So it's been great to hear from all of you. Thanks for having me on your call.
You're so welcome. We're glad you came. So, you know, we have around 10 minutes left. I know I interrupted everyone and asked lots of questions, but now it's time for you all to ask each other questions or find out more information.
I have a quick question for Matthew. first of all, great name. Second of all, so you had mentioned that you had created some, like a network with the Federation and another organization to provide a pot of funds. So JFS of Buffalo does something similar, but I'm just curious how you guys do it. So we partnered with the Foundation of Jewish Philanthropies, JFS Buffalo, me, and the Buffalo Jewish Federation with the Hebrew Benevolent Loan Association to do like a compassion fund. Is that like something similar to what you guys are doing?
No. So we're all, you know, separate entities that have our different eligibility requirements, different processes. But over the past several years, we created this network where we meet regularly and we do shared outreach. And then what has happened is, because we have these different eligibility requirements, some people who may arrive the Hebrew Free Loan or Jewish Assistance Fund may or may not fit their services, but they'll make the referral to us or to the other agency. That's normal practice, but what we've seen is this in our network that we're receiving some more cross referrals.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, Beth.
I just wanted to respond to Ariel's question about the iPads with the internet. So for our iPads, we obtained them with SIM cards, because we know that many of our seniors don't have internet and probably wouldn't want somebody coming into their home or apartments to install internet during COVID. So the iPads come equipped with SIM cards. Hmm. You don't need internet. And then when they're well and they can start going out again, they can go to any of the areas, public areas where there's Wi-Fi.
Yeah. It's such a great idea, and I never considered having the pre-recorded videos on there, because you don't necessarily need Wi-Fi access to view those. It was very, very interesting.
Right, you just have to upload it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, you would need to upload it through some kind of virtual format, either SIM or a Wi-Fi. But we've just preloaded the apps that the clients could use to reach out to their loved ones for the social connection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Rachel.
And I was just going to say, one of the purposes for the pre-recorded sessions or the pre-recorded content is a couple of things. One, the difficulty of getting people to watch something at a certain time, which several folks have talked about. And then for us, they will be on Wi-Fi, because again, it's at the assisted living, but so that it can be passed from person to person. Because the challenge is, if something is streaming, it has to be watched right in that moment, which is really hard. So I have a quick question though, and this is my technology limitations. If an iPad doesn't have Wi-Fi, don't you have to pay for data, like a data plan? Yeah, okay.
So the because they came as a donation, the SIM cards came as part of the donation.
And it comes with a data plan of some exactly. kind?
It okay. gives you X number of gigs or a time frame. And then it okay. would be up to either the individual, the person's family, to add more, or if the agency has a fund to continue to add to it, that would how you do it.
Okay. You know, you just reminded me of something. Rachel, you got that grant from United Way. I'm sure that what you said, many of these agencies, if they don't have it, could also use that language. Would you want to share? Is that like, I don't know, is that proprietary? I don't want to put you on the spot, but maybe that's something that other agencies could benefit from, you know, using the same kind of language you use, since you actually got the funding.
Well, I appreciate that credit. Howard Olshansky, the executive director of my agency, got that grant.
Okay.
And then it's my job to create the program for the grant that he wrote. So if anyone would like to reach out to Howard, I'm happy to provide.
I know Howard, I can reach out to him. Is anyone interested in that? If I could get it, would you be interested in it? Potentially?
So I don't know. It was a United Way COVID relief fund grant.
Yeah, but even without COVID relief, I think that in some communities, this is the wave of the future, and this is what could happen. I mean, who knows how long we're going to be in this situation, but I think that I'll reach out to him.
Yeah, and what was cool about it.
He may say yes, he may say no, I don't know.
Yeah, I think Howard would probably say yes, but it wasn't, it was not a grant for seniors, but I think the reason why we got it is that we were actually suggesting, because it was just for COVID relief, but I don't know that that many people are thinking, have that many ideas for seniors in this. So to be fair, I was actually shocked that we got it because we've applied to so many United Way things and not gotten it. So it's all Howard. I just come up with, he gets the money and then I just come up with the program and the staff.
I like that.
Yeah.
Tracy, you were going to say something else. We only have 3 minutes, but if you can tell us in those 3 minutes, that's great. If not, you had also mentioned something about professional development, and I wondered how this group potentially could help that, or what kind of group we could have to talk about that. Was it you, Tracy, who said it? You're on mute.
Thank you. We have a professional training institute, which it really focuses on training the professionals in the community who serve the Jewish community, which means everybody, because really anybody could. And so we focus on certain topics.
Like leadership or what?
No, this is more clinical.
Oh.
So working with abuse.
Professional development for social workers or something.
That sort of thing. Our leadership stuff is much more internal. Mm-hmm. But we've been successful bringing that training online. Mm-hmm. And so that's been, we felt good about that. And then we are running in a couple of evenings, what we're calling an evening of support for anyone who's grieving during this time. So whether the loss was from COVID or pre-COVID, like it doesn't matter, because everybody's experience of grief has been upended. And so we're doing a community event this week. I don't know, we have like 70 people signed up.
Send a flyer, send me the flyer of what it is. That'd be interesting for that. Because just like Howard is giving me that information, I just think that's something that every agency could potentially do.
It hasn't been hard to put together.
And Matthew, I know you're not the social services person, but you could forward it to that person in your, Stephanie, is that who it is in Pittsburgh? Yeah. Because I think it's a good idea, unless you're already doing it. I don't know. Yeah. So, but this was good. I thought it was really exciting to hear all these programs. And I think you all are doing great work. You're all heroes. And, keep on keeping on. It's not easy. And I guess I'll see you the next time we meet. And if anyone wants to be the chair, let me know and I'll reach out to your CEO, okay? Because we're looking for someone. Have I said that enough? Anyway. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
Bye, you guys.
Take care.
Bye.